time for another retro AMT, and we've chosen pretty much the most recent of our back catalogue that's behind a paywall to give you for free this time. It's episode 199 out of 200.
One before AMT 200, maybe my favourite episode of all time.
Which I'd highly recommend you buy, folks. Yeah. AnswerMeThisStore.com.
And I'd forgotten that this episode has a monumental theme tune, courtesy of you.
I think we recorded it pretty much for our own pleasure, and then you sent me the edit pretty much for our own pleasure, and then we decided to keep in the full version. I don't think we'd originally actually intended the full version to be broadcast, but here we are. It is glorious.
I could have listened to it for longer, Ollie.
I should say actually as well that it's part of a rhyming couplet, which is in itself a joke about Magic FM, the wonderful radio station, and I certainly would not make the joke that we make then, now, because I am one of their guest presenters. So any joke about their limited playlist is, of course, incredibly out of date. They now play more of the songs you love.
They do. I do enjoy a bit of Magic, Ollie. That has not changed since this episode came out in the end of 2011.
Who doesn't?
People who don't like Hazard by Richard Marx don't enjoy a bit of Magic FM. People who don't like Roxette don't enjoy Magic.
Who are those people?
Wrong-uns.
They're dead.
Wrong-uns.
And another good classic Martin the Sound Man jingle that we don't play anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's Martin channeling Elliot Smith to sell the Answer Me This book. Really beautiful one.
When you say it like that, it sounds a little bit unsavoury to channel the tragically deceased Elliot Smith to sell our comedy toilet book. But it is a good jingle. We talk a bit about music in this episode. I clearly had much more irritated feelings about Nicki Minaj than I remember ever having. I don't remember ever having particularly strong feelings about her in any direction. But I think the source of my irritation here was really that I think she's very charismatic and talented, and I found her deliberately eccentric presentation a little bit diminishing of those things. It felt like too much of an effort.
Well, I suppose all of these retro episodes are snapshots of time, aren't they? And this, when it was released 5 years ago, was a time when Nicki Minaj was sort of everywhere. Like, now you'd need to seek out Minaj to see Minaj. But then, clearly, our social feeds were plastered with Minaj.
Whenever you opened your eyelids, Minaj.
Yeah, it was a menagerie everywhere.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, that's too good to just be in this temporarily released episode. Oh. I'll have to remember that one.
Keep it, and when there's more Minaj news, I'm sure you can work it in. And there's more music in this episode, because we're talking about Dave Rowntree, the drummer from Blur.
Yes.
Mentioning his burgeoning political career, this month he got elected as a Labour councillor on Norfolk County Council.
Good update. Another update as well that I think people might like to know is I talk about my grandmother's sort of disco-style kettle.
Yeah.
Since then, Grandma Terry now has a one-cup dispenser. Yeah, she's got a bit of arthritis in her hands, so even though she likes the light show on the kettle, she now has a kettle that's it's much more sensible because you just press the button, it only fills up one cup. Yeah. You don't have to carry such huge amounts of water across the kitchen. So that's the latest Grandma's kettle news for you.
Great. It's good to have a five-year update.
Mm.
But could she not have kept the kettle just for the light show and had another one for the hot water dispensing?
Well, just because it's not on display in the kitchen, Helen, that doesn't mean she hasn't done exactly as you suggest. Maybe there's a secret drawer under the bed where the kettle light show continues unabated.
It's always a party at Terry's.
I should say as well, I had a pleasant surprise listening back to this episode when I heard the question from Josh in Luton, because Josh in Luton came up to me in Wetherspoons in Dunstable and fanboyed me about a year ago. He does his own podcast, and now would be a perfect occasion to plug it. But I listened to it. It was quite good, but I can't remember the name of it. Sorry, Josh. But anyway, he'd been inspired by us to make a podcast, and he'd been listening for years. And he saw me in the Wetherspoons in Dunstable because I was getting my refill of Illy coffee so that I could get ready to do my cover shift on Three Counties Radio Drive Time. I'll be doing that again this summer, so if you live in Dunstable, mark it in your diaries.
This is such a showbiz anecdote from Wetherspoons to Dunstable.
But anyway, he was in there and he reminded me that he'd sent a question in, and he said, I'm in episode 199, I ask why a drummer's so mental, and I couldn't remember anything about it. So now I've heard it back and I was like, oh, Josh.
That's very sweet.
So it's a pretty good episode.
If you want to get others of our retro episodes, they're all available at AnswerMeThisStore.com and on iTunes. and on Amazon.
And all the contact details that we talk about in the show for getting in touch with a question for our next episode, they're still relevant apart from our P.O. box number.
Yeah.
We give out an address on the show because at the time of release, it was just before our fifth birthday.
Yeah, and new people supplied.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? Chocolate from America and stuff.
It was delightful. But we only paid for the thing for 6 months. But still, the nice guy who works in the Crystal Palace sorting office was forwarding things for another couple of years.
Another couple of years. But Helen and Martin, as you'll know if you're a fan of the show, don't even live in that place anymore.
So even
if the nice postman were still there, you'd be sending it on to people who now bought the flat they used to live in. So don't.
This episode has been sponsored by Squarespace. Thank you very much, Squarespace. Very decent of you.
Very decent of you, and a very decent service you provide the world as well.
They're making
it easy to design beautiful websites.
Yes, and also their customer service is very good. It's available 24/7 online. You don't have to talk to anyone either, which is my favourite kind of customer service. You just have a little bit of messaging.
Yeah, well, you can do live chat if you want, or you can take your time, chill out, say, you know what, this particular problem, I'd rather wait an hour and have an intelligible, articulate response delivered to my inbox in perfect prose.
Yeah.
Although that said, of course, nothing will go wrong when you're using Squarespace. They make useful websites, easy to design, drag and drop templates, whatever your business, whatever your portfolio, whether you just want to just build a big montage of your face and put it out on the internet.
Yeah, why not?
It's free to play around for a fortnight, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But then if you want to sign up for a year and get a URL thrown in, then you can get 10% off for that year by using our discount code ANSWER.
Excellent. Well, I think that's pretty much all the business done, isn't it?
Yeah, on with AMT 199.
Brace yourself for a killer theme tune, seriously.
Has Magic FM changed its playlist since the days of the Raj?
Answer me this. Did you know when it snows that my eyes become large? And the light that you shine can be seen. Baby, I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Yeah, and now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave.
Would you believe it that the St. Andrew's no masturbating in the toilets in the library notice wasn't real?
Oh,
it was too good to be true.
Numerous of you have written to us to say that we were kind of hoaxed along with a lot of the rest of the internet, and that sign isn't real.
I wanted to believe.
We wanted to be. It's that time of year. It's that special time of year where we all want to believe.
You two like Mulder and Scully.
I have put an X on my window. Like, come and masturbate in our library. I've got a lot of books. Our carpet's disgusting anyway.
So people of St. Andrew's University, could you at least be more original next time? Apparently this has been done all around the world at various different universities.
I can't believe we've been punked.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry about that. Not true, but it was fun to talk about anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I'd do it again if I had to.
Hi, it's ADA and Will from Amersham in Buckinghamshire. We were just wondering, answer me this, Helen. why is Buckingham Palace called Buckingham Palace if it's not in Buckinghamshire?
It's Buckinghamshire.
Mind-boggling.
Why is Oxford Street called Oxford Street when it's not in Oxford?
Why is the Worcestershire sauce in my cupboard called Worcestershire sauce when I don't live in Worcester?
Oh, God.
It's named after Buckinghamshire, presumably. Or Buckingham, is it? The Duke of Buckingham, perhaps?
Yeah, the original bit of the building was built for the Duke of Buckingham.
There we go.
There. Boring.
Yeah. I bet the Queen wishes it was in Buckinghamshire at her age.
Buckinghamshire seems like a good county for her to retire to.
It would be a good place to retire to, wouldn't it?
She's got Sandringham.
But I think she'd prefer for her main home to be somewhere rural, because although the location of Buckingham Palace is very convenient...
Got to be noisy, though.
And if you want to buy some milk...
Well,
it's a mile's walk, isn't it, to the nearest place?
No, either you have to do all your shopping in the M&S Simply Food in Victoria Station.
That's true.
And therefore you have to queue for ages behind commuters. These Buckinghamshire friends of ours are still very inquisitive. Here they are again.
Hi, Helen and Ollie. It's Will and AJ from Amersham. Answer us this. Why can't you flush condoms down the toilet?
They're not going to break down like sewage and eventually paper do. They're just going to stay there, getting into the water system, strangling seabirds, not degrading. I mean,
yeah,
how many thousands
rubber,
of years does rubber take to degrade?
Exactly. It's only because it's got bodily fluid in it that you're thinking the toilet is an appropriate place to put it. You wouldn't put a rubber band down the toilet, would you?
No, of course I wouldn't.
Wouldn't occur to you.
You wouldn't put a bin bag down there.
And they can cause a lot of blockages as well. I remember reading an interview with the guy whose job it is to wander up and down a sewer, kind of clearing out blockages.
What a job.
What a job. And presumably a lot of that is things that aren't really water degradable.
Now, I wonder if you're the person who sifts through shit for a living, whether a used condom is any more or less revolting than the stuff that you have to sift through anyway. Because, you know, you say, oh, it clogs up the water drainage system. Imagine the people that have to filter through the used condoms, but they are standing in human excrement anyway. Why? I mean, in a way, isn't it a nice novelty? Oh, look, found something different.
Semen, brilliant. Maybe I'll catch a disease from that. A different disease to the ones I'm already exposed to.
A different disease in my sewage roulette.
Well, Ollie, here's a question from Ashley from Burford, who says, answer me this. Can I bet on American pro wrestling?
Yes.
Why wouldn't you be able to?
Because it's predetermined outcome, which is completely extraordinary.
That's like betting on what's going to happen in the third act of a play.
Yeah, but you actually can. I didn't think you would be able to, so I looked into it, but it turns out there is at least one American site called Five Dimes, which does allow you to do this. And it's, I guess it's much safer than betting on the underdog in the first fight of an ordinary series. So what you do is, like with WWE or something, when the series begins, say there's 10 fights in the series, in fight number one, they've got a new fighter who's called, I don't know, the caterer, and he comes in with a big fork.
He's not going to win.
My dad got into wrestling. He hasn't mentioned it to me.
And he's the outsider, right? Because he's not the Undertaker or the limo driver or whatever.
Bone cruncher.
Yeah, exactly. But you say, okay, caterer, 10 to 1. Yes, I'm going to put $10 on the caterer. And then unlike in real fighting, where really the underdog very rarely makes it through the series, and that's why they're the underdog, because they're not the better athlete, in this kind of staged wrestling, actually, they're quite likely for the narrative to have a new person come in and become a champion
and
in a
shake
series.
Up the ranks a bit.
Exactly.
Oh.
And maybe by the end, you know, he's skewering everyone on a big kebab and feeding them to people as part of his role as the caterer.
Or making everyone wear aprons.
So if you have a good sense of, I guess, how the storylines are being played out, then you've got actually a much better chance of betting on the predetermined outcome of melodramatic wrestling for children than you have on real wrestling.
How do they choose the winners in the wrestling?
Well, just what would make best telly, really, isn't it? And what? Who's going to sell the most action?
So that's the script writers or something?
Yeah. Because it's not really about the fight, is it? I mean, I haven't watched WWF for ages, but basically the fight is what? A quarter of the broadcast, and then the rest of it is the build-up, the chat afterwards, or someone gets folded up into a collapsible chair and slammed across the arena. And that's not really the sport, is it, at all? The actual fight bit is just the reason why they build this whole media circus around it.
And isn't it odd that people have got prison sentences for match-fixing in cricket, and yet in pro wrestling, it's just accepted?
The sport is the match-fixing. No one's pretending that it's not fixed. So, I guess they're pretending to little kids.
But they're not the ones putting the bets on.
No, they're not. So
it's illegal, surely.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question from Ryan from Elstonwick. He says, I was just thinking, are onions vegetables? And if so, can I tell my mum this and make it official?
It's official! Sainsbury's, move the onions from the soft fruit aisle and put them back with the vegetables where they belong.
And what else could they be apart from vegetables?
Ornaments.
They're from the ground, they have roots. What else do you need to know? Well, that's a vegetable, isn't it?
Well, that's true, actually. A lot of people do count vegetables as things that grow in the ground, and fruits are things that grow from flowers.
I'm sure there are exceptions.
Yeah, but it's boring, isn't it, when people are like, well, actually, tomatoes aren't a vegetable, they're a fruit, and peanuts are a legume, and potatoes are a tuber.
But there's no debate about onions.
Well, they're an allium. They're actually a bulb related to the lily. But to all intents and purposes, they're a vegetable. If you're putting them in a broad category, they're a vegetable. But there isn't an allium section in the supermarket.
No.
There's fruit and there's veg.
Okay, so if you were being accurate, you could say that they're more flowers than vegetables, could you?
Well, if you were being a dick.
They're in the right place in the supermarket. There are lots of things that I don't like where they are in the supermarket. I think the onions, they're in the right place. They're next to the ginger and the potatoes, and that's roughly, in my mind, where they should be.
Whereas the bread, why is that past the cleaning products?
Yes, exactly. That's just about making you walk around the store, isn't it?
It's next to the booze, so it's making sure that you can prepare kiddish very easily.
If you've got a question, email your question to answer me at this podcast.
Question from Tom in Oxford, who says, Ollie, answer me this. What is wrong with this world when people feel the need to have a see-through toaster? Why, oh why, would anyone feel the need to spend £160 just to, he quotes, monitor your toast as it browns, end quote.
I think it's brilliant.
I love see-through things.
Yeah,
firstly, one loves see-through things. Secondly, fun toaster novelty. There's not been much of that. Thirdly, You can see your toast as it browns, then you can pop it when it's too brown.
You can make an amazing time-lapse video of your toast browning.
Amazing.
I think £160, I take his point, is a lot to spend on a toaster, and I
That's
haven't
too
spent
much,
that on
isn't
a toaster.
It? That is too much.
But I do think we're used to spending not very much on a toaster, but that doesn't mean that that's the natural price for a toaster. I think if you didn't know that £5 toasters were available, considering how often you use it, you'd be prepared to spend, say, £70 on
a
toaster.
A dual-lit toaster, that's bloody expensive,
there
and loads
go.
Of people have those.
And so, therefore, I think to have a top-end toaster, that, which is one that lets you see the action as it happens...
The bread show!
I think an introductory price of £160 to pay for the fact that Magimix scientists had to work for years to develop this incredible see-through device, I think that's reasonable.
The price will probably be half that in a year.
5 years, I reckon.
I see drawbacks, though.
Go on.
Firstly, as soon as it's been used a bit, it's not going to look very clean. And depending on what you're toasting, there can be quite a lot of moisture in baked goods, and that could just make it steam up so you can't see the browning action.
I've tried it.
Oh, my God.
That doesn't happen.
You've tried it.
What do they do?
I don't understand the science bit, Martin. All I know is it doesn't steam up.
But you could see all the manky burnt crumbs all too easily.
Actually, on this link that Tom in Oxford has sent us along with this question to the John Lewis website where you can buy this thing, there are reviews of people that have bought the toaster.
The greatest show on earth.
I have to say, they're all 4 and 5 stars. So that, you know, it's a quality product. But one of them says that when they bought it home, the whole family stood around and watched it.
Oh, just like in the olden days.
But I think you would.
I bet that was the same when people first got washers and dryers that had a glass porthole rather than top-loading with no porthole. They would have looked at the soapy, whirling magic.
Yeah, why not? But my favourite one is someone's rated it 5 stars and called it a real conversation starter.
Well, that does suggest that conversation is something your family needs to work on. I think
only if you want to have a conversation about toast or bread.
I think that marriage dried up some decades ago.
When my brother began doing stand-up in 1999, it was before he was a political stand-up, he had a piece of material about a transparent kettle.
Oh, yeah.
The slogan of this kettle was, "Watching water boil has never been so much fun." But his wife bought him one as a present, and the problem was that it just got limed up really quickly, so you just had quite a dirty-looking kettle.
My grandma's got that kettle that does a little light show.
Oh, I love those.
What's that about? She loves it, but I don't understand.
It's completely pointless.
That's not the same as seeing your toast brown. That's not adding function to form. That's just pointless.
Well, also, the light's kind of on all the time, even when you're not using it.
But why not? I mean, why not add a light show to everything? Why not add a light show to the fruit bowl?
Too
why
much
not add
light,
a light show
light.
To a DVD case?
Too much.
But it's as pointless. Why is the kettle taken off
because
as a thing?
Because it's a boring item, and therefore it needs jazzing up.
But I just wonder, you know, if we did a Helen and Ollie kettle, what that might look like.
It certainly would look like an unsold kettle. Unless it had our faces on the side, and as you boiled it, our faces got redder and redder and redder.
Until we were burned alive.
Yeah.
Hmm. Niche, but you're right. My mum would buy one.
Here's a question from Phil from Hitchin, who says, "After listening to much contemporary hip-hop music, I discovered that a few artists, including the rapper Jay-Z and Nicki Minaj, use the term pelican fly."
Why did you describe Jay-Z as the rapper Jay-Z but not Nicki Minaj as
the woman that does the funny eyes in every single red carpet photo?
Although I quite like the theatrics of it, because if she walked down the street I wouldn't recognise her. Although as soon as you see the wig and the tits you think Nicki Minaj.
I'd like the theatrics more if they didn't just seem like a poor knockoff of Gaga a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Anyway,
Ollie, answer me this: what is pelican fly and why do these people sing about it?
Okay.
Is it like Spanish fly?
No.
Is it like an aphrodisiac, but it gives you a really big beak?
not to my knowledge, Helen, but it's a reference to Al Pacino, weirdly, in Scarface.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Oh, the rappers love Scarface, don't they?
Yes.
This is a gangster.
Yeah, it's Al Pacino sitting in a jacuzzi in an apartment with a fit woman standing behind him.
With a pelican on one hand and a fly on the other.
And he's watching some sort of Attenborough-type nature documentary on the telly.
He's living a good life.
That's the point of the scene. And he says, whilst he's in the jacuzzi, it's about pelicans, you see this documentary, "Go, pelican, fly! Pelican, fly!"
I don't remember that scene.
I think it's not a classic scene, it's just one of those things that's been picked up.
That's such a trivial phrase.
I know.
Why would you fixate on him saying that over everything else that he says that is more motivating?
Because it has come to mean, which I guess maybe is something to do with the gangster heritage of Scarface as well, it's come to mean high on drugs.
Why?
Because pelicans fly high, right? So you're high, really? Like a pelican flying.
The birds that fly high.
All birds
pelicans.
Fly high. I don't think they fly particularly high.
Not
but the
penguins.
Point is, this we're deviating.
Not chickens.
The point is, you're high like a bird, you know, so you're pelican fly high.
I reiterate my point. Why fixate on this trivial phrase from this movie to express that.
There's a scene in that film where he's got a desk with literally a mountain of cocaine on it, and he sticks his head in it and then starts shooting people. Why not fixate on that scene?
Coke desk. Whoa, I'm so coke desk.
I think the reason might be because of the other meaning of the word fly, to mean like cool. So you've got three things going on there. You've got the Scarface reference, you've got high on drugs, and you've got I'm fly. So you can put it in a kid's song like Nicki Minaj does, and no one really knows what it means.
If there's any aquatic bird that I don't think is very fly in that sense, it's the pelican.
That's right, isn't it? There's nothing cool about a pelican, no.
I love a pelican, but it's not cool.
It's not cool. In fact, if anything, the humour from that Scarface scene comes from the fact that you wouldn't expect a drug dealer to care about a pelican.
No, so all it is really is a silly way of saying high as a kite.
Saying drugs, putting drugs into kids' songs.
Brilliant. Oh, wonderful.
Since 2001, that's Jay-Z.
Because she does that song that goes something like, mana my my, like pelican fly.
Yeah.
In that silly way that she does.
Yeah, and what she means is, like drugs.
Druggy, druggy, drugs, like the drugs I did.
I'd like to hear that.
Dear Santa Claus, did you know I've been really good this year?
I've been helping old ladies,
eradicating rabies,
and laying off the beer.
So fill my stocking with classic episodes of my favourite podcast.
For 79 pence each, you can buy AMT 1 to 80.
My appreciation will be vast.
Go to answermethispodcast.com/classic to get them for me.
And look, keep me entertained on Boxing Day when Grandpa's starting to bore me.
The price of meat. Full Merman interracial marriage young people today.
Thank you to those of you who have been sending us cards for our forthcoming fifth birthday.
Yay!
We shall be reading out some of the good bits in the future, so if you have one for us, please send it to us in the post, the address for which is, Helen?
Answer me this, P.O. Box 53587, London, SE19, 9B. Q.
That was beautifully done, Helen.
Lovely.
I wouldn't recommend sending questions to the PO box, but I would recommend sending them to our phone line by dialing the following number.
02081235877.
Or by Skyping Answer Me This. And let's hear from one of you right now.
Hi, this is Josh from Luton. I play in a band with my best friend, so we don't seem to at school pretty much. And we keep going through drummers because they're all a bit mentally deficient. So, Helen and Ollie, answer me this. Why are drummers so fucking mental?
I suppose drummers have chosen, out of all available instruments, the one that's the most, like, repeatedly punching someone.
Yeah. And kicking them as well.
And they're keeping themselves physically isolated from other people behind a bank of drums. Maybe that...
They're building a wall between them and their emotions.
It either reflects their psychology beforehand or it creates isolation between others afterhand.
In a lot of cases, when there's been bust-ups, like take Lennon and McCartney, it was never with Ringo, was it? Like,
no.
Actually, the drummers stay out of it.
Yeah, Ringo was a shit drummer, though, wasn't he?
But the point is it really the case that drummers cause issues?
It's rockers, isn't it? Rockers are very troubled generally.
Exactly.
But when I was thinking, yeah, there are a lot of drummers, aren't there, that suffered untimely deaths, like Keith Moon or John Bonham and all of the drummers in Spinal Tap, because obviously they were parodying this trope. Then I thought, but what about Charlie Watts or Phil Collins or Dave Grohl or Dave Rowntree from Blur, who's now training as a solicitor and stood for the Labour Party last year?
Yeah, he's the most boring one in Blur, isn't he?
Yeah, but then also probably the most tolerable one if you were living next door to one of them.
Do you think, in real life, Alex James is as interested in cheese as his current public persona actually suggests, or is he just doing that for the cheesy money?
I imagine that he was interested in the cheese at the beginning when it was a big bucolic reaction to his city rock life.
Yeah. But now he's actually the Sun's cheese expert.
Now it looks like work. Care? Well, actually, I did hear from somebody in the cheese industry that someone else makes Alex James's prize-winning cheeses for him.
Good Lord. So you wouldn't get Rowntree involved in that kind of deception, would you? That's why drummers are better.
Straight up, Rowntree.
Although Phil Collins, actually, I'm sure he was part of the disagreements within Genesis, no?
I'm sure, but he's not mental, is he? He's very business-like.
No, he's self-absorbed and a bit corporate, but he's certainly... He's the kind of person, if he was your girlfriend's dad, you'd like to go for dinner with him.
I don't know. I mean, I'd imagine he'd be quite a cunty dad that was always trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
At first. But then afterwards, he'd have some great toys, wouldn't he? He's a lot of money.
I read a really tragic drummer's death. It was of Jeff Porcaro from the band Toto, who died in a gardening accident at the age of 38. He was allergic to pesticide that he was using.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it is. But that's not a mental drummer, is it? It's a drummer doing something quite normal.
Hi, this is Terry from Stockwell. Helen O'Alley, answer me this. Is it true that King Charles Spaniels are the only dogs you can take in church?
Surely you can take...
Guide dogs.
Guide dogs, yeah. Surely.
Yes.
So that's obviously untrue.
I think also you can take other breeds of dog. It really depends on the individual parish whether they allow them in or not.
I can believe that.
And some churches actually, don't they have pet blessing ceremonies every year?
No.
King Charles Spaniels, which became popular in the reigns of Charles I and II, they were so popular amongst the Charleses that King Charles II wrote a decree which allowed the Spaniels access to all public buildings in the kingdom, and this decree is still in existence.
Oh.
So even if your church says, no, sorry, can't bring in that Spaniel, you can storm ahead.
I'm pretty sure as well in The Vicar of Dibley that one of the eccentric, hilarious older women characters carries a dog with her, and it's not a Spaniel, and that's in the church.
Yeah, but that's telly.
No, everything in The Vicar of Dibley actually happened, Helen. Everyone knows that.
They probably bring in pigs and elephants into church though, because they're so eccentric.
Yeah, I think they do, actually. I think there is an episode where they bring in pigs.
Also, a lot of people want their dogs to attend their weddings.
Yes.
And I guess some churches probably think that this is quite sacrilegious, and other churches are like, sure, come on in.
Yeah. Is it possible for a dog to be Christian?
They're all wearing dog collars.
That's true.
I think probably with dwindling church numbers, they'll take what they can get.
Shalom Aleichem. I'm a Jerusalem artichoke. Answer me this. Why does Helen consider me a tasty, savoury treat, but Ollie gets such horrendous wind from me he can't sit down for days? I suppose it must be because women don't guff.
Here's a question from Chris, who says, when I was 16, I accidentally smashed a lot of glass into my arm at a party.
Ooh. How do you do that? Through a window, do you think? Or
yeah,
beer bottles?
Glassing himself.
Accidentally smashed a lot of glass into my own arm.
Falling into a fish tank?
It's just too horrible to contemplate, isn't it?
It's not good. Being the compulsive liar that I am, says Chris, or is he, I gave a fake name and age in A&E because I thought it'd be an in-and-out stitch-up job that my parents never had to find out about.
That's the complete opposite of how I used to think when I was 16 and I injured myself at a party.
Mommy!
First thing I still do. Daddy, I'm in a lot of pain. I'd still do that exactly now. In fact, my girlfriend only 3 years ago, who still always calls her dad before she calls me when she's in a great deal of pain, managed to sit on a screwdriver.
Oh, what, an upwards facing one?
Yeah. And she was with her dad at the time, so I got the first call. But usually I'm sure it would be the dad.
She was saving herself for marriage.
To clarify, it went into her butt cheek.
But also, he's 16. They wouldn't have told his parents anyway, would they?
But is that the case? I thought that was 18, that age limit. Is that 16?
I seem to remember from my teenage brushes with the family planning clinic, it was 16.
Okay, fair enough.
Chris says, I'd also lied about my location that night because I didn't want my parents to find out anything.
Okay.
However, it turned out that I'd seriously damaged some tendons and needed surgery under general anaesthetic.
Ooh.
I was in hospital for 2 days with a fake name and age, as well as my parents not knowing about it.
What? They didn't find out, even when you had general anaesthetic?
And came home all woozy with the blood dripping out of some mysterious bandages on your arm.
Where did you tell them that you were?
Chris says, I'm now almost 19 and have trouble with my arm that I really want to get checked out.
I think you should probably do that, Chris.
Well, Ollie, answer me this. Would I be in any trouble with the law if I went to a doctor and explained that I'd had surgery under a different name? Would they just look at my arm, my poor arm, and forgive me? Also, my parents still do not know about this. I've been hiding big scars on my wrist ever since.
Okay, well, look, from the telling your parents point of view, surely now, 3 years later, you can tell them that you went to a party when you were 16.
Maybe they're very puritanical, his parents, and he said, I was away for 2 days praying at the monastery. Like, very well.
Even so, you're making this worse for yourself with every deception, so it's still now is the time to own up, I would say. But from the point of view of would the doctor treat you if you said that when you had the operation it was under a different name, yeah, I think they would, because if someone walks in with a problem, they have a duty to treat it, don't they? And they ask questions afterwards.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem with your arm, they will sort out your arm.
Well, as they did
before.
And a bit years ago.
Exactly.
It seems that unless you provided false documentation in the first place to say that you were somebody else in the hospital,
right,
they probably won't prosecute you for stuff. But also, they can't prove that he ever was that imaginary person because no documentation exists to prove that he was that.
Why don't you just say you had it done on holiday? And you haven't got any documentation.
You don't even need to. If it doesn't appear on your records, you know that the NHS is supposed to be getting this super whizzy computerised central system so that your records are available to any surgery anywhere.
Well, it's millions of pounds of tax money well spent.
Well, you know, they haven't got it yet.
I do.
And
Like I say, millions of pounds of taxpayers' money well spent.
And when I changed GP surgeries about 3 years ago, they couldn't find my medical records.
Mm.
So they had no idea what my medical history is. So you'd be like, oh, I don't know why it doesn't appear there. Well, I had this operation.
Oh, just fudge it like that, make it their fault.
Yeah.
I wouldn't advise them to do that, actually. Although you could get away with it, it's entirely possible that during your surgery they found out something like you were, maybe that you were allergic to an anaesthetic or something like that. Mm. Having detailed information about the nature of your injury, other than, oh, I hurt my arm and there's bits of glass in it, is really important.
I wonder whether he gave them the false name of a real person.
In which case, they've been getting all of the all the warnings through the post saying that they need to return to hospital immediately because it's going to go septic.
You're allergic to your own blood. But obviously sort it out, because do you really want an arm that doesn't work for the next several decades of your life?
Exactly, no, better to get it sorted out. And also, like you sort of alluded to earlier, the reasons for lying in the grand scheme of things, this is easily explained. You didn't want to upset your parents that you were out having a drink and that you were at a party you weren't supposed to be at when you were 16. That's quite innocent in the grand scheme of the kind of offences that people perpetrate at the NHS, i.e. I've got a completely false identity because actually I'm from a different country and I'm not really this person's brother slash wife slash husband.
Well, this is the thing. It is an offence if you weren't entitled to NHS services. It's also an offence if you were doing it to obtain prescription drugs. But the fact is, had you gone in with your real name, you would have been allowed those services.
You'd have had the same thing with less bother. But this was all a terrible mistake.
But I don't know if you noticed, but the NHS, they don't have a whole lot of money to be pursuing pointless lawsuits against idiot teenagers. So, probably all right.
You're probably all right.
Another morning opens with a bloom of questions burgeoning anew. But questions seem to always strike at awkward times, like when I'm on the loo. The answer me, this paperback's the perfect size to take into the John. It's at your local Waterstones or online Amazon. For your convenience.
I think this question's going to upset you, Ollie. It's from Tim, and he says, answer me this. Is Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory history's greatest villain?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's an old man who wanted his grandson to achieve his dreams. What a prick.
Yeah. Stalin, nothing. Oh, yeah. Pol Pot, zip.
Make Stalin look like a bunny rabbit, Helen.
Well, here's Tim's hypothesis. He stays in bed 24/7, contributing nothing to the household.
He's in his 80s.
And smoking away their meagre income. But wait, what's that? You've got tickets to a chocolate factory? Oh, he's up like a shot and dancing a bloody jig. After 20 years in that bed.
Yeah, it's his life's dream, Tim. It's his second chance at life.
He's faking it. He's faking the infirmity. He almost wrecks Charlie's chances of winning the factory by making the poor little Mike drink the fizzy lifting drink.
But that's accidental, isn't it? He doesn't know that that's going to happen to Charlie.
No, but he's been told not to take anything that Wonka hasn't expressly permitted them to take.
Yeah, and I suppose Grandpa Joe, as the responsible adult in that situation...
Grandpa Joe is experiencing a second childhood. I mean, he's being rejuvenated by this experience of through his grandson's eyes, seeing all this wonder, and so he's lost in the moment.
Maybe he's actually senile.
I think what we're saying with this point is it's forgivable. I mean, I think, as Tim Burton attempted to make clear, with flaws, Willy Wonka, out of all the characters
in
the story,
evilest.
He's the suspicious one, not Grandpa Joe. Well, but the whole point is that everyone's idolising this person who clearly is psychologically disturbed, a slave trader and everything else. It's not that Grandpa Joe is evil.
Well, actually, Ollie, you say that, but I bet you haven't visited the website called Say No to Grandpa Joe.
That's right, I haven't.
Which seeks to prove that he is a ratbag industrial spy bastard.
Oh, God.
It provides quotations and then exegesis to prove that Grandpa Joe is a bad man on the counts of being a pervert, a slacker, ill-mannered, and the best thing, a misogynist.
Misogynist?
Yeah, because he tries to touch up Mike TV's mum when she clearly doesn't want to be touched.
Now, Mike TV... I always thought that was the weak link in terms of the names. Because Veruca's...
Why would his surname be TV?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just too easy,
isn't it? It's like if Violet was called Violet Chewing Gum.
Exactly. Or Veruca was called Veruca Spoiled Child.
Or Augustus Tubber.
Exactly. Yeah, Gloop. Now, that's the good one, isn't it? I think what Dahl did there was that he came up with Augustus Gloop, and that's great because that hints at obesity and greed. But
and
it's
also
not...
the manner of his passing.
Exactly, but it's not explicit Augustus Tubber, yeah.
And
whereas TV, that's just... I guess in the 60s it probably felt a bit more satirical, but it just feels a bit wrong now.
It would be like Mike Internet today, would it?
Or Mike Xbox. Like, is that is that obvious?
In the films, I do think that not only Grandpa Joe, but all of them are pretty creepy, apart from the bratty children, who I quite like.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You're not really gunning for Charlie in the film version. I don't know why that is, because in the book annoying. You are, because it's very clear that he comes from this very impoverished background. But somehow in the film, when you see the kind of angelic-looking children that they cast as Charlie, you want to root for one of the more interesting ones.
And on that note, it's time to finish episode 199. And bloody hell, that means that the next episode is landmark episode 200.
Extraordinary.
Yes, it's going to be even more ordinary than this one.
Some of you have in fact speculated that we'll be doing some kind of live spectacular like we did for our 100th.
No, we think we would have given you some notice.
That's right.
Yeah, we'd told you about that.
It was kind of, we sort of felt like, you know, last time we did a live show at the bloody Roundhouse, it's kind of difficult to do anything bigger than that, bearing in mind we are a homemade podcast.
We're not going
to
sell out the O2, guys. I'm sorry.
What? But that's round. Hey, we've got a good track record with round venues.
But we are doing something special for our 200th episode.
Yeah, there's going to be some special guests. But
we're not going to tell you who those extra special guests are until next week. You have to tune back for that.
It's going
to
be bloody amazing.
It is. I'm looking forward to it already.
Yes. But in the meantime, you can send us your questions, as you have done for nearly two centuries of podcasts. and the same methods apply as they always have. You can email them, you can phone us, or you can Skype. And all of our contact details are listed on the same website we've always had.
AnswerMeThisPodcast.com.
Although, sorry to be pedantic, actually, we didn't have the phone line until about 20 episodes in. And now, of course, we've got our P.O. box as well.
Yes.
So remember to get sending us those cards for our fifth birthday too. Yeah. All the details about that are on the site as well.
And presents, you say?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't refuse them.
That's very unsubtle, just mentioning presents there, Helen. It's not as if we're actually digging for presents in the post by routinely saying that we're looking for presents.
Did someone say presents?
Cards. Sorry, cards. Send us cards.
If they send us food, do you think we dare eat it?
Depends on the food. If they've sent us a raw egg in an envelope, we probably will.
And we'll see you for episode 200 next week.
Yay!
Bye! Helen and Laura.